This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're hoping to talk with Chris Woodward, the Rangers manager, momentarily. They have an early game. Oh, yes, it looks like we are going to be good to go. We have an early game, but he is still going to be hopping on with us. And don't forget, we will roll with you all the way until 2:30 today, and then we'll turn things over to the pregame show with Jared Sandler leading into the game against the Angels. Right now, brought to you by Medical City Healthcare, your premier destination for all of your healthcare needs. It is Rangers manager Chris Woodward. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you guys. How are you?
We're good. We're good. I feel like we failed you last week with our radio managerial magic, and I wasn't even here, so I'm going to try to not take any of the blame, or maybe I deserve all of the blame. We promise a better outing today than last Wednesday.
Yeah, you guys totally jinxed it off every time. You know, if you wouldn't have said anything, we probably would have won last night and probably would have won the week before, but it's okay.
I think that's fair. I think that is 100% fair, and that is the way you should look at it.
You know, Woody, these guys asked me, and I think it's a great question for you because you are managing a team, is Corey Kluber right now has a little bit of shoulder fatigue, and I know he didn't throw a ton of pitches against you guys the other night when he threw his no-hitter, but how tough is that as a manager? Because the history of baseball is like, hey, you want that guy to get that no-hitter. He's in line for history, but there have been times where if you push that guy and he maybe gets the history, maybe doesn't, it can kind of affect their health as the season progresses. How tough is that as a manager if a guy has something going to also think about the rest of the season or the future?
Yeah, it is tough. You know, and I try to put myself as a player and then as I got into coaching into the manager's shoes and just to try to get some history behind a lot of the injuries. I know Johan Santana back in the day threw, I don't know, it was 140 pitches.
That was the example I used, yes.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, and then he goes on the DL the next, you know, right away. So it's one of those things where as a manager, it's, now that I'm in the seat, it gives me heartburn. You know, I love it. You know, I'm obviously a no-hit follower. Every time it's the fourth inning, I'm like, oh, he's got a no-hitter. All right, maybe he's going to do it. You know, I was witness to Dave Roberts having to pull out Stripling, you know, in his first start back from Tommy John, and he had a no-hitter in the eighth inning. And, you know, the limit was 80 pitches that day, and he had 96 or something, and he had to pull him out of the game. And I saw Rich Hill get pulled out of a game because of a blister after, you know, 80 pitches of a perfect game through seven. So, you know, I've witnessed some tough ones where they had to pull him out of the game, but it was for the best, and he got criticized for it. And, you know, it's one of those things. I know it's a once-in-a-lifetime moment, but, you know, there's so many more starts after that one start. And I think it's important to the team to understand that. But, you know, I'm always obviously going to, you know – as a manager, you try to keep them in there, but you just there are certain moments where you're like, just get a hit. Just throw seven scoreless and give up one hit instead of having zero.
So the pitcher that obviously we have all loved this season is Kyle Gibson. Now, I know you kind of touched
on all the pitchers, Kevin.
Okay,
I'm sorry, you're right.
And Dane Dunning, we love all of the pitchers. We love all of the team. Kyle Gibson has definitely caught the hearts and imagination of Rangers fans this year. I know you kind of touched on it, but for our audience who might not have seen or heard, he's going on the 10-day IL. Can you tell us anything about what you're anticipating in terms of number of missed starts?
Yeah, really only one missed start. So it was one of those things where, you know, his groin was pretty sore. You know, it wasn't terrible to where he, you know, if it was a playoff game, he'd probably pitch. But it makes no sense to obviously pitch him with that and, you know, potentially hurt it more and have to miss, you know, a month or so. So it's really only one start. And then the second start that he was scheduled to start in Colorado. So we pushed that one back a couple of days because we don't want him first start back coming off a sore groin, having to, potentially hit and run the bases. And, Colorado is a tough place as far as recovery goes with the altitude. So we just pushed it back to the first day at home. So he's going to pitch the first game in Tampa. But he should be fine. Just that one start. Maybe it's a good reset for him anyways. Maybe something that he could have pitched through. But at this point, it didn't make any sense. And it's only one start.
That sounds positive. I like to hear that.
Absolutely.
Mike was talking about this a little bit the other day about, like, the things that he watches. Because obviously, when he's there for the pre- and post-game show, he's paying attention. But he was a major leaguer. So he's watching other things on the field that maybe the casual fan doesn't notice. But he was talking about Willie Calhoun's defense. Can you kind of talk about how he's progressed since you got your hands on him?
Yeah, man, he's made some really good plays out there. The play he made last night, it's one of those where it's a double, and he ran it down. He did it the other day at home. He did it his first game out there against Baltimore, and that left center gap saved the game for us, honestly. It's one thing we challenged on. I know I challenged him in spring training before he came into camp. It's like, listen, man, obviously we knew we had Chris Davis, and, we had Dahl, and just the perception was that he was going to be this, a DH. A young DH, and I said, hey, man, if you want to get rid of that stigma, like, you're going to have to work. You're going to have to put your work in. You're going to have to put your work in on defense. I said, that's what we do as a team. I said, you watch Joey Gallo. He's a Gold Glover. He's out there power shagging every single day. Every day he's cutting balls off in the gap. He's working on balls down the line, working on balls by the wall. He's out there, playing it like a game. I said, that's what it takes. That's what it takes for you to improve. And, he's done that. You watch him every day. He's out there. He's throwing to bases, almost on a daily basis. He's cutting balls off in the gap, working on a spin move back to second, throwing balls to third, and he's power shagging. That's the one thing you can do in batting practice because everybody typically hits line drives and fly balls, and you can run balls down. So basically the whole pitching staff clears out of the left field area and wherever that, center field or right field for our guys, and they just let them, take balls live off the bat, and he's done a good job of that, and it's shown up in the game.
And, Woody, this is now another player that – because I go back to IKF all the time. A guy that was maybe not noticed early but put in all this work that you asked him to put in, and you were basically saying, trust me, if you put the work in, it's going to work. I know being a manager, you have to earn the trust of your players, but I guess the other part of it is knowing when to reward them, right?
Absolutely, and I love doing it. Adolis Garcia is a perfect example of that, and I love getting asked about him because, I got to witness this guy, basically get zero opportunity the last couple of years, and that's probably my fault, and I don't think he was ready. I think he needed to learn some things and work through some things, but, if the younger guys coming up and they come into big league camp and they see Willie Calhoun, they see Kiner, they see Adolis, they see these guys, Jason Martin comes to mind in camp who really turned a lot of heads. Those kind of guys, man, like, if they understand that they work their butts off and they figure some things out, they ask the right questions, they're always trying to improve, they're going to get an opportunity because their talent's going to show. They're going to overachieve. They're going to do things that maybe they didn't even realize was possible, or maybe they do. Obviously, in Kiner's case, this guy believes he's a superstar. Tell him that he's not. I dare you. Tell him that he's not. And that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing when that becomes the majority of the clubhouse, and you get that fighting mentality every day. They're out to prove people wrong, and when you got an entire team that does that, now you got something pretty powerful.
Now, along the lines of Garcia, we were kicking this around a couple of segments ago, the idea of him and Vlad perhaps for player of the month. I get that the focus is on the team, but how much do you think the team takes notice of the potential for Garcia to win like player of the month? How important would that be for y'all?
Oh, it'd be amazing. No, I don't think there's a person in that clubhouse that's not super ecstatic for this guy, man. I mean, this guy's one of the best teammates I've ever witnessed. Everybody loves this guy. Just his energy. He treats everybody great. He goes out of his way to say hi to you every day. Like, this guy's a special human being. And the fact that he's as talented as he is, and he plays as hard as he does, and he's figured out some things the way he has. And he's impacting the game like he has. It's just, everybody's pulling for him, man. Everybody's super excited for him. Every time he hits a homer, everybody just looks at each other and goes, man, this guy's Superman. But it's not about him. It's about the team. If you watch him yesterday, he hit a home run. We're down by 8 or 9, he obviously kind of knew he hit it, and he just put his head down and ran. You know, he hits a homer in the ninth inning to tie the game or win the game. You know, he's going to celebrate it.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing to watch, man. It's he's all about team. He just wants to help us win every day, and that's it's a beautiful thing to watch.
So when it comes to Garcia, I get this question a lot, Woody, and you're going to be the best to answer this because I don't know him. I'm not working with him. They say, is this real or is this sustainable? Is this, like, is Adolis Garcia an all-star player for a long time? Because he's an all-star player right now for the first time we've all got to see him. Can you give an answer to the Ranger fans that somewhat ask me, is this who he is?
Yeah, I think I can answer that because, the one thing I look at when it comes to players is what's their process? How do they get to this point? And this guy has done a ton of work to get to this point. He continues to do work. You know, after the game last night, I know he hit a homer, but, you know, he's walking up the tunnel into the clubhouse, and he was upset we lost. He obviously didn't love that. And he's talking to our hitting coach. He's like, about the at-bats, and he chased a few pitches up in the zone, and he's talking about how he needs to, you know, he can't have those at-bats. Like, he's got to be able to stay in the strike zone. And that's one thing he's going to have to learn is right now, you know, he kind of caught the league by, you know, off guard maybe a little bit, and nobody really saw this coming. He's not going to get pitched to the same. You know, the more success you have, the less pitches you tend to get. And I think, you know, Barry Bonds is a perfect example of that. And I've had conversations with, you know, Cody Bellinger through the years and certain guys that had a ton of success early. You know, you're going to have to adapt. You're going to have to adjust. You're going to get less pitches in the middle of the zone. They're going to be careful with you. You're going to have to take your walks at times, or you're just going to get pitched really tough. And so, you know, his, you know, being able to maintain this type of performance is, you know, he's just going to get less pitches to hit, so he's going to have to deal with that, knowing that he's not going to hit as many homers potentially, but he's going to get on base a lot more if he can stay stubborn in the strike zone. So that's the next challenge.
Woody, do you know what he said to the catcher the other day?
I can't. If he hasn't said it yet, then I don't want to burst it. But it wasn't anything major. I know that. It's not like there's any bad blood or anything. It was actually pretty funny.
It was like, you know, bubble yum over Bazooka Joe. I gotcha. Okay, it was something easy, something nice.
So we had heard the story about Zach Plesac breaking his thumb, ripping his shirt off. Mm. I really wanted to know whether it was a teammate, a player that you managed, or whoever. What is the most absurd baseball-esque injury that you have ever heard or been involved in?
I've seen quite a few silly ones. You know, you get the old punch in the wall, breaking the hand. Probably the funniest thing I've ever seen, and he actually had to go on the DL with a concussion, was, you know, in our park in Toronto, we had like these aluminum, where the bat rack was like aluminum. So if you shove your bat into the, and they were just like rectangular holes that you stuck it in. If you shoved it in there, it would bounce off the back of that aluminum thing and shoot back at you. So most guys figure that out pretty quickly because you throw it in there pretty hard. It's like, oh, shoot back at you. Well, one guy in particular, I'm not going to say his name, but he didn't do that. And he, you know, in a fit of rage, slammed his bat into that thing as hard as he could, and it literally shot back at him probably about 120 miles an hour right off his forehead and put him on the DL.
It was probably against me, Woody, because I can't believe I got out of this guy.
I'm throwing those, like, 60-mile-an-hour changes.
Wow.
That's when you just tell him. You just say, the bat didn't do it. That was all you. And then you just move on about your business.
Well, we every week we appreciate talking with you, and again, we guarantee a better performance today than the last time we had you on.
Let's do it.
I like it.
All right, we'll talk with you next week.
Sounds good, guys.
All right,
we really are so lucky to have like Chris Woodward, and I know Banny was great with this too. Like, just, you know, and Ron Washington, at least since I've been here, to get to these guys are just great with these interviews.
Mm-hmm. What an awesome story there. But you know what I like is that he still knows the right spot to protect.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm not gonna say who it is, even though, you know, he was like, it was so and so.
Didn't Smoltz burn his hand with an iron ironing a shirt that he was wearing? Like,
I love Trevor.
What? You know,
I'm watching a lot of Trevor Bauer YouTube. I think it's fun. But I mean, he
chopped
couldn't pitch,
hand.
Yeah, because he was messing with
his drone. Yeah.
And then he ruined his playoffs.
The World Series,
And I know we're going to talk about this more tomorrow, and maybe we should pull that clip that he just said, but it was really interesting to hear him go, every single person in this clubhouse is rooting for Adolis and for him to get player of the month and just in general.
Yeah, I get that question a lot about Adolis. Yeah. And tomorrow we'll dive into this month of Garcia and who he's competing with for possibly player of the month in the American League.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.